Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Ayin Gimel. We will begin on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. In our previous shir, the Gemara had taught us a machloikis of Abaya and Rava. Abaya, that Eid Zoymim, when Eidim are identified to be Eidim Zoymim, from what point do they become disqualified? Do they become disqualified from the time that they said this Eidus, which we now identify as a not true Eidus, or do they become possible only from the time that the Zoymimim process actually happens? Rava's opinion is that they become Eidim Zoymimim only from the time that they said they're Eidus, and Abaya said Lamafreya, they become Eidim Zoymimim retroactively from when they said their false testimony. So Gemara wants to use our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, to question Abai's opinion. The Mishnah taught us, Gav Apishnaim, if there were two Edim that said that this person stole an animal, and then, besides having two Edim that said that he stole the animal, what also happened was with Tavach Amacha Apiem, those two Edim also said that this Ganef had done Tficho Mechira, and then, and then it turns out that what they were said was not true. The halacha is misham sakol. They're going to have to pay the whole dial of a hay. Suggest the Gemara, my laugh, what is the case of the Mishnah? Isn't it presumably shehidu al gneiva? First they came and said edus that this person had stolen the animal. Then the chazre idu al tficha. Then they came and said edus that this person had slaughtered the animal. The Huzma al Geneva, and then Edom said that what they said about the Geneva was not true. The Chazar Hidzma al Tficha, and then they will become Muzum on the Tficha. Says the Gemara Visal Kedatech, if what Abai said is correct, that Eid Zoymim, Lamafrehu Nivsal, he becomes disqualified retroactively. So Hani, Kim de Itzmul al Geneva, the moment that they became Edom Zoymim on the Geneva. Igloi Milsa, the Mafreya. So now we know the Chiyasadu at Tficha, at the time that they testified about the Tficha, Psulim Hava, they were already disqualified Edom. Because obviously, first the testimony of the Geneva happened, the Gemara is assuming, and then the testimony of the Tficha happened. But if we say the Mafreya, the Edom Zoymim become disqualified retroactively, so it means at the time that they said the Geneva took place, now we're not accepting their Edus anymore. So when later on they said Edus about the Tficha, Psulim, however, they were already disqualified Edom from the time that they spoke about the Geneva. So if that's the case, Amay Mishal Ma Tficha, when they said the Edus on the Tficha, they were Posle Edom. And since they were Posle Edus, somebody who's a Posle Edus, his Edus is completely discounted. And since his Edus is discounted, we should not at all take in consideration that Edus and not make him pay for what he said. Amri, says the Gemara, what happened here was, Hachem Ma'iskin, our Mishnah refers to a situation, Kigoyin Shozma al Tficha Tchila, that they became Edom Zoymimim on the Tficha before the Geneva. Since they became Edom Zoymim on the Tficha before the Geneva, so they weren't Edom Zoymim when they said the Geneva, because at that point they only became Zoymim on the Edom Zoymim on the Tficha, and that's why they're going to have to pay. But ask the Gemara, yes, the Gemara came up with an answer that even though obviously they testified first about the Geneva and then about the Tficha, but when the Edom Zoymim came in to say that they were Edom Zoymim, they spoke about the Tficha first. Even if we'll say that, ask the Gemara, even if we'll accept that type of a reasoning, but when the Edom that come and say what they said about the Geneva was inaccurate come in, so what's going to happen is that they're going to become Edom Zoymim retroactively to the Geneva. So even if the Edom Zomim that say that they were Edom Zomim come about the Geneva second, Saif, asked the Gemara, Kehadra mitzmi a Geneva, when they are become Edom Zomim for the Geneva, so now, given Abaya's position, Igloi Milsa, it turns out the Kiyasadu, when they spoke about the Tficha, Psum Hava, because even though they maybe became Edom Zomim on the Tficha before the Geneva, but when they said their testimony, they first said their testimony, obviously first about the Geneva, and then about the Tficha. So then, if it turns out that they're Posla Edom, Lamafreya, from the time of the Geneva, so when they said Edus on the Tficha, their Edus was a meaningless, their Edus was an Edus that we don't accept, because they were Posla Edom at that point. So why would they pay? Asked the Gemara. Amai Mishalmi at Tficha. Answers the Gemara. Hilchasa, we have to explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Shehidu Bas Achas. They spoke about the Geneva and the Tficha at the same time. And then they became Muzim on the Geneva and the Tficha. So even though we're saying they become retroactively disqualified, since at the time of the Edus, they said about both Edus at the same time, and as we're going to learn soon more about this, Rashi explains what happened here was that the Edus on the Geneva and the Edus on the Tficha were given Toich Kedei Dibur of each other, so they were considered one Edus, and therefore when they become Muslim, they become Muslim on both, Apostle on both, and that's why they have to pay the whole Dal V'Hei. So suggest the Gemara, Lema Katanoi, perhaps this machloikus of Abaya and Rava is actually a machloikus Tanoim. And as we often explain in our Shiurim, this should be understood as a question. The reason it should be understood as a question is that Amoraim were expected to know all of the machloikus Tanoim. So we find a machloikus Amoraim, which is really a machloikus Tanoim, then where the question is, why were they arguing? It's already old machloikus. So says the Gemara, this machloikus, it seems, this machloikus of Abaye and Rava is machloikus Tanoim. Because the Braisa teaches us, two Edom say on a certain individual, Shagonav, that he stole an animal, he stole a shor or se, and he's chayiv kefil. And then, the hain, and those Edom oisei shetovach, that they also say that he slaughtered the animal. V'huzma ala Geneva, and then they became Edom Zomim on the Geneva part. So we apply here the concept, Eidus shebatla mekutzasoi batla kula. Since the part of their Edus regarding the Geneva is disregarded, so too the part of their Edus regarding the Tficha is disregarded. And this, and the explanation is quite simple. The explanation is that if there was no Geneva, there couldn't have been any Tficha. And Rav Shimon Shkop says, it's not because we're saying, well, if he was turned into being a liar, and we see that they are liars because they became Muslim on the Geneva, that's a proof that they're obviously not to be trusted. Rav Shimon Shkop says, it's not because of that. It should be understood, says Rav Shimon Shkop, in a much simpler fashion. The way to understand the Gemara, says Rav Shimon Shkop Zatzal, is if we are disregarding what they said regarding the Geneva, because they became Muslim on the Geneva, then automatically, then the Tficha has no place in our conversation. Huzma al-Tficha, but let's say they were not Muslim on the Geneva. They were only Huzim on the Tficha. He, the Ganef, Mishalm Tashlume Kefil. Vehei Mishalm Tashlume Shloisha. So the Ganef is their Edom that say he's a Ganef. So therefore he has to pay Kefil. The Edom that became Zomim on the Tficha, given that there's the rule, Vasisim Loi Kasha Zomim Lassus Lochav, we punish the Edom Zomim with what they wanted to do. They wanted to cause this Ganef to have to not just pay Kefil, but to have to pay Chamisha. They have to pay the balance. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Continues the Gemara, continues the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yossi, the Medvar Mamurim, when do we say that if they were Muslim on the Tficha, that doesn't mean that the Geneva falls away. That's when B'shtei Eidus, and the Gemara will explain that in a moment. So immediately the Gemara asks, what does this mean? My shtei eidus, what was meant when Rabbi Yossi said two eidus? And my, what was meant when he said eidus echad? Ilem shtei eidus, b'shtei eidus mamish, which means shtei kitos. One, there are two pairs of eidim. One pair are speaking about the geneva, and one pair is speaking about the tvicha. Or eidus achas means b'bas achas b'zachazeh, that they said that the Geneva took place on a Sunday, for example, and the next day they say that the Tficha took place on Monday. And Amar Rabbi Yossi, Eidus Achas, Bebas Achas, that if you have the Eidim saying at one time, both on the Geneva and Tficha, Bezachaze, Kimisade Geneva, Vahod Misade Tficha, when they're saying both on the, that they're both saying on the Geneva, and then they're speaking about the Tficha, and then Kimitzvah Tamicha, when these Eidim become Eidim Zomim on the Tficha, we say Eidl Shabbat Maktsasa, Eidl Kula, Vitzimala Geneva, we won't have to pay for the Geneva either. Why? Why? Because they became Muslim on the Tficha, why would that affect the Geneva? And what they said about the Geneva, they weren't Eidim Zomimim, and the Ganav should have to pay kefil. Elalav, how must we understand what Rabbi Yossi? B'shtei edges, b'edis ach shtein edges, when they said one testimony, that's like two testimonies. Man ninu, what does that mean? Kas achas, one pair said on the Geneva, on the Tficha, b'zachazah. Avo b'edis achas, if they both, if it was b'bas achas, they said testimony on the Geneva and the Tficha. Toich de diver of the Geneva, they also spoke about the Tficha, and then they became Muslim on the Tficha, then the Ganef wouldn't pay for the Geneva. Even though there was no Hazama on the Geneva, because at the moment they said they became Muslim on the Tficha, they become retroactively Posel Edim. And since they become retroactively Posel Edim, Abaye's opinion, and that Eidus on the Geneva and the Tficha was said at the same time, since that they were said at the same time and they became Muslim on the Tficha and the Geneva Eidus was said at the same time, that means we don't trust them for the Geneva Eidus either. And since we can't trust them for the Geneva Eidus, the Ganef wouldn't have to pay kefil. So what do we say? That the Machloikus of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi is if the Eidim said the testimony at the same time. If they said the Eidus on the Geneva and they said the Geneidus on the Tficha at the same time, do we say that since they said both testimonies, both statements, they spoke about this kind of stealing and this kind of slaughtering, shechting, at the same time, is that considered one Eidus? So the Gemara is saying, the Savrua, at this point, everybody's assuming that Toich Kedei Dibur, when two statements are said, Toich Kedei Dibur, of each other, and we'll see soon in the Gemara, what is the shear of Toich Kedei Dibur, it's considered like one testimony. So if it's considered like one testimony, how will we understand, suggest the Gemara, the Machloikus of Rabbanan Rabbi Yossi, Umay La B'Hokamufki, the Rabbanan Savri Mekano La B'Nifso, Eidim Zomim only become possible for when they actually said their testimony. The Kivan, the Meshata Komitzmi, since they only become possible from the time they became Muzal, so if they became Muzam on the Tficha and not on the Geneva, so on the Tficha, the Komitzmi, which was their second testimony, they become Muzam and not Apostle Eidim. However, at Geneva, which happened before, which was stated before the Tficha Eidus, and on that Eidus they weren't Muslim, and therefore it stands in place, and therefore the Ganef would be Chayiv Kefil for that. Because at the time that they said that this Ganef stole, they never were Posel, even because they only become Posel when they said testimony, that makes them pasul, which is at the time of Tvicha. And Rabbi Yossi Sover, Lamafreyahun if so. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that Eidim become pasul only retroactively. The Kivin Demiyadi is Sidu. As soon as they said the Tvicha Eidis, they were Mufsul. They were Muslim on that Eidis. And were saying that retroactively they became pasul Eidim. They become Kiyitsuduhu the Mufsuli. Not now when they became Muslim, they become Pasla Edom. Only, and therefore when they said the Geneva Edis, it was long before they were Muslim. They become Muslim all the way from back when they said the Edis. And moreover, since these two Edis, these two testimonies were said Toich Kedei Dibur of each other, so therefore when they were Muslim, going back to the time that they spoke about the Geneva, Itzulami Ageneva. And back to the time that they said the Tvicha, since that Eidus was said, Toich Kedei Dibur of the Eidus of the Geneva, the Toich Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, and therefore, from that time they were Pasul, and since they were Pasul from that time, the Ganef, there are no Edom that this Ganef stole, and that's why here Rabbi Yossi say there won't be a Chiyuv Kefil. So the Gemara is suggesting, the Rabbanan hold that Edom Zomim only Mekan Lahaba, and Rabbi Yossi holds Edom Zomim Lamafreya, which is exactly the machloikis of Abaye and Rava. And it'll turn out that Rabbi Yossi holds like Abaye. Rabbi Yossi is saying, like Abaye has been teaching us, and Rabbana is saying, like Rava taught us. Amri, says the Gemara, if halachically we subscribe to the concept of Toikadei Diba Kadiba Dami, the Kulam Lamafreya Unifso, everybody will hold that since these two testimonies were said together, we connect the two testimonies, and the apostle from when they spoke about the Geneva and the Ganef will not have to be paid kefil. Al Hoicha just says the Gemara, this is the subject of the Machloikus. They're arguing about this very principle. Rabban Savri, Toikadei Dibur, Lav Kadiba Dami, and therefore, just because we say that they became apostle on the Tvicha, that has nothing to do with the Geneva that was said before. So even if we say Lamafreya, Lamafreya is from the time that they said the Tvicha. The Geneva was said before, and that's upheld in court. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Machloikas here is over the principle of Toich Kedei Dibur Kedibur. Do we accept that principle, or do we not accept that principle? Says the Gemara, and we're saying now that Rabbi Yossi is the opinion that holds Toich Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. Ask the Gemara, is that a position that we could defend to say that Rabbi Yossi sover Toich Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami? For Tanan, the halacha is if somebody has an animal that is a carbon, and he puts an animal which is not a carbon next to it. He says he has one animal which is chulin, and he has two animals that are carbonous. One animal is a carbon oila, and one animal is a carbon shlomim. So that means in total he has here three animals: one carbon oila, one carbon shlomim, and one carbon oila, one carbon shlomim, and one chulin. The Torah Kedoshah speaks about a parasha of Tamura, of substituting one animal for another animal. And the Torah Kedoshah teaches us, lo yemerenu, one should not do such a substitution. But the Torah says, v'mhoma yomereisai, if such a substitution is done, v'yehu usmerasai yekaydish, both the original animal and that's a carbon remains a carbon, and the substitute animal also becomes a carbon. But this person said on the animal which is not a carbon, hareza tamuris oil tamuris shlomim. That was his statement. So what kind of a tamur is it? So hare tamuris oil divir Rameya. So Rameya's opinion is that tfois loshen rishon, when we don't know what to do, we take the first part of your statement. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im lekach niskam metchila, that he meant that they should be both, and just it's impossible for a person to express himself that way. You can't make two statements. You can't say two statements. You can't say two words at the same time. You can't say two phrases at the same time. and will recognize both statements, and this chulin animal will be considered a mixture of oil and shlamim. We'll have to wait for it to become a balmum, sell it, and half the proceeds will be used to bring a carbon oila, and half the proceeds will be used to bring a carbon shlamim. The mama, tmurus oila. But if somebody said it should be a tmurus oila, says Rabbi Yossi, the nimlach v'am a tmurus shlamim, then he changed his mind. So we see, then the halacha is erased at tmurus oilam, you can't change the mind. So ask the Gemara, v'avinaba, and trying to understand Rabbi Yossi's opinion, nimlach, if he changed his mind, pshita, that you can't change your mind. Once what you've done is done. V'am rapapa, rapapa says what it meant was, nimlach b'taych teidi b'kamirin. Rabbi Yossi means to say that you can't change your mind even Taikadei Dibur. So we see that Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to the concept of Taikadei Dibur. Answers the Gemara, Amri, when we speak about the shear of Taikadei Dibur, there are two shiurim. Trey Taikadei Dibur habit. There are two shiurim. One is Kadei Shelish Talmud L'Rav, and Chad is Kadei Shelish Harav L'Talmud. There's different shiurim, the Gemara explains. Kiles l'Rabbi Yossi, when does Rabbi Yossi not subscribe to the concept of Taikadei Dibur, Kadei Shelish Talmud L'Rav? When it's a longer amount of time. What does it mean, a longer amount of time? The amount of time to say, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Yomairi, the Nafish. That's too long for Rabbi Yossi to allow for somebody to change his mind. But a shorter amount of time, which is the amount of time Kadei Shelish Talmud L'Talmud, when the Rebbe greets the Talmud, which is only the time, the amount of time to say Shalom Alecha, that islay that he does subscribe to him. The Taisa says that the Gemara in Masechet Brachos teaches us that a nice in Shalom, if somebody gives Shalom or returns Shalom that to his Rebbe, it shows a lack of respect. And therefore, Goyim L'Shchinah Shetustalot Yisrael. It's a Gemara Masechet Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin Mabeis. So how does the Gemara say that we're taking this amount of time into consideration when this is something that shouldn't happen in the first place? So Taisa says that there the Gemara is speaking about a case where somebody is greeting his Rebbe like he greets his friend. If you greet your Rebbe like your friend, that's inappropriate. But if you're greeting your Rebbe with the proper respect, then that's not appropriate. Rebbe Yoinis says that what it means is who initiates the Shalom Alecha. If the Talmud initiates the Shalom Aleichem, that's inappropriate. But if the Rebbe initiates it, that, of course, you should answer. Tosfos explains, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, what is the reason for this halacha of Kadei Shelish, of Kadei Dibur? It's because, let's say somebody is in the middle of a transaction, or he's doing whatever he's doing, and his Rebbe greets him. So as we just quoted Rabbeinu Yoinah, if your Rebbe greets you, of course you're supposed to respond. Because, and once you're responding, it takes time, as our Gemara just said, to state that response. So Chazal built in that because of such a possibility should be happening, that's why Chazal built in that the amount of time, Kadei Shelish Talmud, Kadei Shelish Shalom, whatever the number is, that should be accepted. According to this, that the halacha of Taikadei Dibur presumably is only a din derabbanan. Because Chazal, it's according to Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, we're concerned that such an eventuality may happen. And because such an eventuality may happen, they were concerned. So that's why Chazal said, give us the amount of time to be able to answer. But it's a special rule with the Rabbanim. However, there are Rishonim that say that the din of Taikadei Dibur is a whole different explanation. The Taikadei Dibur explanation is, Chazal know that you have to give a person that amount of time to make whatever transaction, whatever deal he's working on, final. And that's why they gave you this amount of time. And again, as we said, according to the Shita's explanation, the Ran's explanation, then the halacha would be Taika de Dibur, is a deraisa de gedin, that the Torah gave us this amount of time to make sure that what we're doing is something that we really want to do. And therefore, the nafka mina would be, can we rely on this? The nafka mina would be, can we rely on this in a deraisa de gedin case? If we follow the opinion of the Shita and the Ran, then the halacha is, we could rely and negate a deal that was reversed, Taika de Dibur. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if what we're dealing with is a deraisa de gedin transaction, maybe we can't negate it if he changed his mind, Taika de Dibur. The Gemara Masechta Nedarim, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, applies the halacha of Taika de Dibur regarding somebody who thought that his relative had passed away, and therefore he performed kriya. And we know that kriya could only be performed at the time of death and afterwards, and not earlier. The halacha is that the kriya must be repeated when this relative eventually dies. However, if the relative passed away immediately after this mistaken kriya, if he died within the span of Taika de Dibur, the halacha is that the kriya is considered a valid kriya, and it need not be repeated, because it's considered as if it was done at the time of death. As Taisus, according to Rabbeinu Tam's explanation of Taika de Dibur, because we want you to be able to greet your Rebbe, how can we apply it to the halacha of kriya, which has nothing to do with greeting the Rebbe? So Divrei Yecheskel explains that Rabbeinu Tam is going to have to agree that the concept of Taika de Dibur is a concept mitaraisa. And he's going to have to agree that two things that occur within the span of Taika de Dibur are considered bebas achas. And therefore, if the kriya was performed within Taika de Dibur of the patira of this person, it's considered as if it was done of the time of death. However, so if that's the case, where does Rabbeinu Tam disagree with the Ran? Says that the Divrei Yecheskel says that that would be by kriya, or in other situations that are midrabanan. But when we have a valid transaction, which is valid midaraisa, says there we cannot rely necessarily on Taika de Dibur. So as we're learning now, the klal is that we do rely on Taika de Dibur, which typically the place can say the Shia Taika de Dibur is the amount of time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Amiri. The place can discuss a situation that there was a Din Torah where somebody was brought to a Din Torah, and the person who was brought to the Din Torah said that the claim against him is correct. But Taika de Dibur, he changed his mind, and he said that I don't mean to agree with the person that brought me to the Torah. And the question is, can he retract or can he not retract? Because we have a rule that once Kimon Shehigid, Shuvena Chayzim Magid, once he agreed that what the claim to the claim against him, how can he change his mind? So there are Paiskim, the Sefer Yad HaMelech wants to suggest that when somebody's doing a business deal, and there we learned that you have a right, Taika de Dibur, to change your mind. But in a case where somebody is admitting to something, then he created a fact. Once he created a fact, then the halacha is that you can't change your mind. In other words, he says that there are two types of testimony. A testimony that you're just repeating what you think happened. So there is a halacha, the Taika de Dibur, you could be chayzer. But if you're coming to create a fact, there he wants to suggest that there is no halacha of Taika de Dibur. And since there's no halacha of Taika de Dibur, the halacha would be that you cannot retract. This halacha of Taika de Dibur is brought up in many situations. One of the most common issues that it's brought up by is tzedakah. If somebody made a pledge to tzedakah, can he retract tarkadei dibur? There are many that suggest that by tzedakah we don't say tarkadei dibur to dibur dami. And the reason is because we've learned many times in Shas that there's a concept of a mirasul gvaya to mirasul hedjet. That it, when it comes to hegdish, as soon as you make a pledge, it's as if you made a kinyan, which you can't retract. There are many paiskim that disagree, that they suggest that the concept of a mirasul gvaya to mirasul hedjet is only by hegdish, but all other tzedakas where we don't say tarkadei dibur to dibur dami. Another place is, for example, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Shalat Shuas and the Alicha Shlomo discusses a situation where somebody thought that he won't be able to say Krishma in his davening on by the Zman Krishma. So he has a mind to be yaitzis. So it says Krishma, having a mind to be yaitzis the mitzvahs of Krishma. And then he realized that he's going to make it. So the question is, if he has a mind to change his mind after he already said Krishma, can he change his mind? The Gemara says in Masechet Nedarim, the Gemara we quoted a few moments ago, in Masechet Nedarim that pays Zayin Amun Aleph, Vilchus Tarkadei Dibur Kadiba Dami Chutz Megadif. The Torah says when Megadif means somebody Rachman Shalom curses Hashem. The Torah Parshas Emma says the night of shame, Mois Yumos Rogam Yirgmu by Kolai Eda Kiger Kegezrach. The night of shame Yumas, and the question is, the pasuk already began with the words the night of shame Yumas. Why does the pasuk have to say again the night of shame Yumas? Says the Sefer Yosef Lekach, what the Torah is coming to teach us that even though normally you could retract Tarkadei Dibur, here the Torah repeats the words Nak v'shem Yumas to teach us that as soon as you Chas v'shalom expressed a curse on Hashem's name, Yumas, you're chayiv misa immediately, and you don't have a chance. There is no opportunity of Tarkadei Dibur to change your name, your mind. So the question that comes up that many Paiskim discuss is by the Sfira. If some, the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Simen Tuf Pei Tes, Tuf Pei Tes, Sifkot Lamed Beis, where the Shlich Tzibur made a mistake, and he said, Hayom Chamisha Asa, today's 15 days in the Tzibur, in the Tzfira, and immediately the entire Tzibur called out and said, you made a mistake. It's not, today's not the 15th, today's the 16th. What is the halacha? Is that considered that he corrected himself? Or it's not Tarkadei Dibur? Because what happened was, he said 15, everybody announced 16, and only after everybody announced 16 did he correct himself. So that is past Tarkadei Dibur. So what is the halacha of Tarkadei Dibur? Does it have to be Tarkadei Dibur of his statement? Or is if he heard a Tarkadei Dibur of the Tzibur, it's also considered Tarkadei Dibur? And the Sefer Chashuk Chemet says that it's not considered Tarkadei Dibur. It has to be Tarkadei Dibur to his statement. And if it's not Tarkadei Dibur to his statement, it wouldn't help. And he says the same halacha would presumably be by HaMelech HaKadosh. We know during the Seder Shemei Tshuva, you're supposed to say HaMelech HaKadosh. And if you said HaKel HaKadosh, you must repeat, you have to go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. And there was about Tefillah, who made an error, and he said HaKel HaKadosh, and the Tzibur all told him, you're supposed to say HaMelech HaKadosh. And he then says HaMelech HaKadosh. But it wasn't Tarkadei Dibur, because first the Tzibur said HaMelech HaKadosh, presumably he would have to go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. When we speak about Adam being disqualified, there are two types of ways that Adam can have what they said refuted. One is Hachosha, and one is Hazoma. Hachosha means that there's a contradiction. Edom come and say that this person was killed by this person, and the other Edom say that that possibly couldn't have been. The person who you say was the murderer wasn't at the place where you say the murder took place when the murder took place. The person who was murdered couldn't have possibly been at the place you said he was murdered at the time you said he was murdered. That is called achosha. That's called that the Edom are contradicted. And the aloch of achosha, as is often discussed in Shas, is that we have here a situation of treyu trey, two Edom contradicting the two other Edom. But then there's a concept of hazoma, which we've been discussing in Ashurim. There, the second pair of Edom are not speaking about the facts of the case. They're speaking about the Edom. And they're saying that the Edom said, we saw Reuven kill Shimon on this day, at this place. How could you possibly say that? Imanu ha-yisem, you were with us elsewhere. And there, as we've been learning, the halacha is that the Torah gives namonis. The Torah says that we believe the second pair and not the first pair. Not only does the Torah say that, but the Torah says, Vasisim loy kash zomam lasis lachiv. The punishment that these Edom, who are Edom zomimim, is that they get punished with the punishment that they wanted to cause the person they said Edus about should receive. But there are a number of conditions. One is that they have to be kosher Edom. Number two, they have to become Edom Zomim only after Bezdin issued a psak. And therefore, if they became Edom Zomim before, or they're not kosher Edom, or even if just one of them is not a kosher Ed, those Edom can't become Edom Zomim. Al Gemara begins a sugya of Achosha Tchilas Azoma. If Edom were Mukhish, as we just spoke about what Hachosha means, and then they were Muslim, can those Edom be declared as Edom Zomim? We have here Machloikus of Abaya and Rava. Rava, it says that Hachosha Tchilas Azoma, and therefore, even though they were Mukhish first, they could still be Muslim. Abaya says differently. That's the way Rashi learns. So according to Rashi, we have here a machloikis Abaye and Rava, v'achosha tchilas hazoma. Rava says achosha tchilas hazoma, and Abaye says achosha lav tchilas hazoma. The Ravid actually has a different approach. The Ravid's approach is that not that Abaye necessarily disagrees with Rava, but that the various proofs that Rava is trying to bring in our Gemara, Abaye says those aren't proof that Achosha Tchilas Hazoma. But that doesn't mean he necessarily disagrees with the principle of Achosha Tchilas Hazoma. Says the Amar Rav, Edom Shechuchshu Lubsoif Huzmu. If you have a situation that Edom come in and say that Reuven killed Shimon, and their testimony was accepted, because as we just said a moment ago, if their testimony wasn't accepted, and Bezdin didn't act on that testimony, then there would be no question here that they can't become Edom Zomim. But what happened was that first Edom were Machish them, and then Edom were Mazah them. So they wanted a cause that the person that they said testimony about should be killed, Narogim. Why? Explains Rav, as we just said, that Hachosha Tchilas Hazomahi. Hachosha is the beginning of Hazomah, Elishlay Nigbro. Just the chosh is only the beginning and not at the end. The Sefer Agudas Ezev says that Al Gemara did not necessarily have to speak about a case of serious case like we're speaking about, where there's the death sentence on the table. We could have also said where it's regarding money. But the reason the Gemara specifically spoke about the death sentence is to show that Rava holds this concept of achosha tchilas hazoma, even in a case where we're going to put the Edom to death based on this.
Amar Rava Manami Nallah. To which Rava says, from where do I take this opinion? The Tanya, the Brisa says, Midene Beish Plani, Simas Ein Avdoi. We come to say, two Eidim come in and say testimony that this owner blinded his Eved. And then, Sima Hippel Shinoi. And then he also knocked out his tooth. Shireya Rav Oymekain. And we'll focus on this statement in the Gemara in a moment. The Nimtza Zoymimim, the Alochi is, Meshalmim Demei Ayin Levid, they have to pay the Eved the worth, the value of his eye. So there are many questions Rava asks on this Brisa. Hey Chidami, if we're going to learn the Brisa as it seems, the lesser Kasachrina, that there was no other pair of Edom, that the Mazimim said what they said is not true, so then why would they only pay the value of the Ayin? Mishalmim de mei Ayin le'evid, bas de mafkel el-cheris, de mei Ayin kaboyel shlumi. They cause that the Evid should go out free. If what they said is followed, the Evid will go out free, and therefore he wouldn't have to pay for the eye. And therefore, why are the Edom responsible for the value of the eye? Void. And the next question, obviously, is what did they want to cause through their testimony? We know, we've spoken about this halacha, that if an owner knocks out one of the 24 Rosh Yavarim of his Eved, the halacha is the Eved goes free. So if they said testimony that this is what the owner did, and now what they said, they turn into Edom Zoymimim. And as we said a moment ago, the halacha by Edom Zoymimim is a sisim loy, kasha zomim lasis lochiv. So then what they should be punished, what they wanted to do. What do they want to do? Make the Adon free the Eved. So if that's the case, they make kul Eved by Rabbi Lishlumei. They should have to pay the entire value of that Eved. And furthermore, as we mentioned, what is meant with the statement, Shirei Rav Oymekain? The owner says the same. The owner is if the owner wants this testimony. Harabi Nichle, is this testimony that the owner wants? Says the Mara Lav, this is the way we have to understand. The Brisa. Kigoin, also by Treva Amri, Hippel Shinoi. Two Edom came and said that the owner first knocked out his tooth, and then Simei is Enoi. If that's the case, by Mesav Le Harav, the Mei Enoi, then the owner has to give the Evid the value of his eye. Because at the moment that he knocked out his tooth, that's the moment the Eved goes out as a free man. Now he's a free man that a person knocked out his tooth. The halacha is that if somebody knocks out the eye, if somebody knocks out the eye of a person, he has to pay the value of that eye. And we have to establish right away at the beginning of our shiur, as we learn this Gemara, and we'll continue in Mitzvashem, in tomorrow's shiur discussing this, the value of an eye is obviously much more than the value of a tooth. So since they say he first knocked out the tooth, so the Eved went out with the tooth, and now the Adon, if he also knocked out his eye, he's going to have to pay the value of the eye. Vasa betray mitzi, now two other Edom come, the Amri, that what happened was the reverse. Enoi, Vadashinoi. That the owner first knocked out the eye and then the teeth. According to this version, so since the eye went out first, he doesn't pay for the eye. That was the way the Eved goes out, but he has to pay for the tooth, which is much less. So what's happening here is the kamach shle kamboilam tsoi. So we have Edei Achosha, the version of the first Edom and the version of the second Edom contradict each other. Now we understand. When the Brisa said the words, V'hainu, now we understand, Sherav Oymekain, the Lichle B'may the Kamri. The owner is much more satisfied with the statement of the second pair than with the statement of the first pair, because according to the second pair's testimony, he'll only have to pay the value of the tooth. According to the testimony of the first pair, he'll have to pay the value of the eye. And then the Brisa continues, V'tani V'nimtsu Zoyme Mitzoy. And then this middle pair become Edom Zoymimim. So the Eved would have gone out anyway, based on the testimony of the first Edom. So they don't have to pay the whole value of the Eved. All they have to pay, the Mishalma, the May Eved, I Levid, they have to pay the value of the eye, and the Rishonim point out, minus the value of the tooth, because he would have had to pay the value of the tooth anyway. But here we have Eidim that were first Mukhush, and they were Muslim. So we see from here, says Rava, Shema min Achosha Tchilas Azoma, that we could say that Achosha is part of the Azoma process, and Eidim could become Eidim Zomimim, even though they were Eidim Mukhushim before they became Eidim Zomimim.